This is a Discovery Channel podcast. For Discovery News, I'm Will Johnson, and today we are talking to Discovery News reporter James Williams, of course, a regular member of the Friday News Feedback Team. James, thanks for being here.
Hi, thanks, Will.
And James is just back from the USDA labs in Gainesville, Florida. And James, I know from our conversations that you've had a pretty interesting experience down there. They're doing a lot of research with insects, specifically where you were looking at fire ants and mosquitoes. What's going on?
Well, that's true, yeah. The place I was at is called the Center for Medical, Agriculture, and Veterinary Entomology, and it's all about bugs down there. I went down there to do two stories. The first one was about mosquito research, and the folks in these labs are basically coming up with new, better mosquito repellents. So with the mosquito research that they're doing, they started off looking for ways to attract mosquitoes, the best way to attract them. And in doing so, then they can draw mosquitoes away from people. But in the course of the research, they also learned some compounds that actually repel mosquitoes and make people invisible to mosquitoes. They just can't sense them. There's a couple different things that we give off as humans that attract mosquitoes to us. But there's also some compounds in our skin that repel them and make us invisible. And they use this one compound that came from the human skin that made this. They have all these different cages that they can test the stuff with. And in this one cage, the guy put his hand into this box. He didn't get bit by mosquitoes, but the mosquitoes flocked towards where his hand was, and he was protected by a screen. They did the same thing by putting this compound in there with his hand, and they barely noticed them. So that's pretty cool.
And it comes from, we already have this compound in our skin.
Yeah, this particular one, but I think they have like 20 to 30 different compounds that they've identified that work like this.
Hmm.
So it's kind of crazy. Like, our skin has all sorts of things that it gives off. There just happens to be more of them that mosquitoes are attracted to than the repellents that we naturally give off are the things that make us invisible to them.
So by understanding and identifying and figuring out how to manipulate these compounds, we might figure out a way to make a pretty nice mosquito repellent.
Exactly, yeah. And so they have all these different ways of testing that. And one of these people are hardcore. They, in the course of a week, they can get a couple hundred mosquito bites because some of the ways they test the stuff is they stick their arm into a cage that's just packed full of mosquitoes, 250 to 500 mosquitoes in there to see how well these things work. So I actually tested some mosquito repellent effectiveness by sticking my arm into one of these cages that had a couple hundred mosquitoes in it, and the only place that it got bit was right by where my glove ended and where I didn't have enough repellent on. So on that arm, I barely got anything.
Just so like, you wear a glove just because you're testing the arm areas where you want to get bit.
Right. Okay. And also basically because it's just not fun to have mosquito bites all over your hand. But then I wanted to see if like maybe there were just lazy mosquitoes in the cage or just to compare like how much these mosquito repellents helped. And so I stuck my other arm in the cage, and I got 120 mosquito bites from my wrist to my elbow. And they didn't show up at first. Like, at first, I didn't even think I got bit.
120?
Yeah.
So you counted them?
I counted them.
Was it pain? I mean, that many at once?
Yeah.
Pretty painful?
It's a weird feeling. But then the next, they didn't even show up. Actually, I stuck my arm in once, and I didn't think they even bit, because I was kind of shaking them off my arm a little bit.
Yeah.
So I stuck it back in because I just wanted to make sure I was giving them ample opportunity. And man, did I get it, because the next morning I woke up and my whole forearm was just like, it looked like I had poison ivy.
All right, well, from the mosquitoes over to fire ants. What are they doing with the fire ants at the USDA labs?
The fire ant stuff was really cool. Not that the mosquito stuff wasn't, but the fire ant stuff, it just plays like an action-adventure movie. Doctor, his name is Dr. Porter, has found that these flies that are from South America, where the fire ants are native to, these flies actually basically track these ants and then dive down and lay a larvae into the thorax of the ant. The larvae then feeds off of the ant's juices inside of it, and eventually, when it becomes big enough, will release a chemical that makes the ant's head fall off. It then eats the ant's head from the inside out and uses the shell as a cocoon until it becomes its own fly, and then it flies out and repeats the cycle.
What a horrible experience for the fire ant.
Oh, my God.
There's not a lot of love maybe for fire ants, but it sounds like Alien.
Yeah, it totally was. And we went out and actually busted up a bunch of fire ant mounds, and you could see these flies just hover over top of these ants. And once the ants realize what's going on, and they haven't seen these things natively for 70 years, but it's still ingrained into them. It's still, they've like developed this, evolved this way, the defense mechanism. As soon as those flies show up, they flip on their back and try and make it impossible for these flies to dive in and nail them. So this whole swarm that's like bubbling around after you bust open a mound stops moving.
So the flies recently been introduced into this area?
Right, just in the last couple of years, they're about to introduce the fourth or fifth one to the area. And some of them have really taken off, and they're hoping that this is just one part of the equation to keep fire ants from basically taking over.
Well, are there any negative effects of the flies being there, or are they just doing a good job of getting rid of fire ants?
They're fire ant specific, and they've done a bunch of tests to them, and you know, just to make sure that they're not going to hurt any other ants or any other
crops or anything.
Yeah, and they apparently, with all the tests, they go into quarantine and they hold them there for a while and they test them, and it's all good. But for the fire ant thing, I'd never been to a fire, ever seen a fire ant before, because I live up in D.C. They're saying in like 20 to 40 years they may end up here in D.C., but I'd never seen one before, so I actually let the doctor put one on my wrist, and it bit me.
So you had a painful experience, a trip to Gainesville, Florida.
Yeah, it was definitely interesting.
How'd that feel?
It's kind of weird. It's the first thing they do is they bite down on your skin with their pincers to hold themselves in place, and then right after that they sting you. And the sting itself, like, it's like a little pinch, but then the reason they call them fire ants is because it kind of burns like that. Once the sting is done, it burns. So the ant's off of you, but like you can sort of feel this really weird tightness in the skin around where the bite was.
And in Florida, and obviously a lot of other places, fire ants are a big problem, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're all over the place. When we went out, after we were done in the lab, we went out and we just drove out to the side of the road down the street. There are fire ant mounds every 15 feet.
Well, you hear stories of people just getting marauded by them, so.
Yeah, he said that they can be deadly. I mean, every couple of years, he says you hear of elderly people that aren't able to get away from them and end up getting killed. There's drunk people that will fall into a mound and pass out, and they're vicious, man. Each one will bite you until their venom runs out. And I mean, there's, you know, hundreds of thousands, I suppose, in some of these mounds.
Well, and they feel that the flies they're introducing, do they think it really actually could be a solution to the problem?
Yeah, they think it'll be one part of the solution. They're also looking at parasites that will go in and infect fire ants. There's another. There's one ant that basically just hangs onto the queen. It's a parasitic ant that just hangs onto the queen and just like basically eats her food, and it's kind of crazy. But yeah, they're thinking if they use enough of these different methods that they can get a handle on the fire ant population that came from South America and tilted back more in favor of the native ones, which have their own controls within our environment.
All right, well, fascinating stuff, James. The USDA labs in Gainesville, Florida. I know. I hope we will have video from you of the fire ant stinging you.
Yeah, I got everything on tape. I got the whole arm in the cage thing, and then yeah, the fire ant thing.
All right. Well, and you can of course, James's news reports are on discoverynewsvideo.com, and you can go. And in coming weeks, the story from the USDA labs will be up, so we'll be looking out for it.
Cool.
All right, James. Well, Discovery News reporter James Williams, thanks for joining us, and thanks for putting your body on the line for news.
And no problem.
And for Discovery News, I'm Will Johnson.